As I said, Wayne Bauman is going to bring the word to us, and I actually just got to meet him for prayer when we got together to pray before the service. And I know that he attends the Thursday group that Carl and several pastors where they get together and pray. And he's looking for God to open up the ministry, which is a reentry ministry. Right now for those coming out of Carroll County Detention Center, and starting with women. And so that's in my prayer, where he's waiting upon the Lord, he and his wife, Belinda, who if you have a chance to greet her as well. They're waiting upon the Lord they're preparing, and they're getting ready, and they're waiting upon the Lord to give them a house and begin the ministry. I think that's an exciting ministry, to have the opportunity to impact lives of folks that have been incarcerated and put them in a setting where they're not back in their old life. And that's the vision that he has. I don't think he's going to share much about that, but I just want to give you a little background. Mm-hmm. And welcome, Wayne, and
all right.
For the word that you brought us.
Thank you, sir. Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you. I consider it an honor that Carl has asked me to speak while he's vacationing. I will give you a little background about my wife and I. Again, I'm Wayne Bauman, and I met Carl through the Thursday morning prayer group. There are anywhere from 5 to 15 pastors that meet together Thursday mornings from the local Bible-believing churches. And we get together and we pray. We encourage each other and pray and have a good time. And that's about it. A little background information. My wife, Belinda, and I have 4 children. The oldest one is 21. The youngest will be 15 on Friday, so we've been around for a little while. We served as missionaries in Papua New Guinea from 1996 through 2006. And one of our supporting churches is right here in Westminster, Grace Fellowship Chapel, over on Bell Road, as you're heading towards the golf course. When we were leaving Papua New Guinea in 2006, Ralph Neese asked that... let me back up. We left Papua New Guinea because we believed the church was ready to stand on its own, and I was coming back to work on a master's degree. Ralph Neese asked if I would come and do an internship part-time while working on my master's degree, which is how we ended up here in Westminster, because, quite honestly, we live about 2 hours south of here for our entire lives. We lived in southern Maryland, Calvert County, southern Anne Arundel County, those places. This was just a place we came once every 3 or 4 years to visit our supporters. So since all that, I was a chaplain at the detention center for 9 months, and after that finished, that's where I started or felt God was leading me to start a ministry to those coming out of jail and prison. Because everywhere I went, every time I talked to someone, the focus was, we need something for those who are getting out. Those who are getting out are turning around and going right back in. What can we do for these people? And so I really felt God was leading me to start this ministry, and it is called Arms of Grace, not necessarily because of Grace Fellowship Chapel, but because we felt that it's God's arms of grace. He's the one who sustains. He's the one who lifts us up, and he's the one who has to make everything happen. So Lord willing, we will help men and women transition from life inside to life outside, and they will be able to get back on their feet, learn some skills, learn some things that are necessary for functioning properly out in society. Now, that's enough about me and what God is doing with Arms of Grace. I would like to begin with prayer, if that's all right with you, and then we'll look at God's Word. Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for your family here at Westminster Bible Church. We thank you that you are with us, that you've given us your Word, you've given us your Spirit, that Jesus, who is alive in us, will be the one who makes a difference in our lives. As we look into your word, we pray you'd open our hearts and our minds, that we would hear and understand, but Lord, that we wouldn't stop with understanding, but we would practice what you have to say to us. You are so good. We give you honor and praise for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, you can open to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. That's our Bible reading for this morning, and that's where we'll be looking. I'll be reading from the New International Version, but it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to break this if I don't move it. Something I didn't tell you is I like to have a good time, so I may say some things that are a little, not out of line, but maybe not ordinarily what would happen. So, and if God chooses he has the right to change this message, I've already given him permission to do that. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 14 together. Now, reading from the New International Version, it says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God." Well, it's been about a year since I was a chaplain at the detention center, and I wasn't exactly sure what God wanted me to do or what God would do since that time. What I can tell you is it's not what I was expecting. This is what I was expecting, okay? I was expecting that I would finish at the detention center, that this new ministry would be started, and bang, 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 just like clockwork, everything would be taken care of, and we would be fat and happy, and life would be good. It hasn't been that at all. Well, I left the detention center July 1st, June 30th, started working on this ministry, Got a job at a horse farm, been shoveling horse manure. Somewhere in April, got a job at Walmart, and that's where I am today. It is not the road that I thought God was taking me on. Do I believe he is leading? Yes, I believe he is leading. Do I know what he's doing? No, I have no clue as to what he's doing. Anybody else in that boat? Okay, good, I'm not alone. We can struggle through this together. It hasn't been fun. I would be lying to you if I said this was the best time of my life. It has not been fun. But it's been a growing process. It's been a strengthening process. Belinda and I are going through this. We have other friends who are praying for us. They're in this with us, they say, but they all still have jobs. I don't understand how they're in this with us. But I know God is good. I know he can be trusted. I know when things don't go the way they seem, he is still in control, even if I don't like it. And so what I want to do today is look at this passage of Scripture and see what God is doing possibly in us and through us in our world. As I said, it's not what I expected. I started working at a horse farm in August of last year. And every day, believe it or not, I came home with a fragrance. It wasn't the fragrance of Christ, but it was a fragrance. And oddly enough, after a while, I didn't notice it anymore. But my wife and my children, every day, they noticed the fragrance. I'll come back to that. Helen, actually, one of our daughters, she's our second daughter. She's just turned 19. She loved it because she loves horses. And she actually started working at the horse farm with me because she enjoyed it so much. But this past year has not been what I thought it would be. Let me share two verses that God showed me before this whole thing started. Psalm 37, verse 7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." And literally within about a 10-minute period, this other verse he showed me, "Be still and know that I am God." So for the last year, I've been trying to be still. I've been trying to be patient. I've been trying to wait on him. Have you ever tried to be still before the Lord? You ever tried to wait patiently and listen for his voice? Remember what Elijah went through? Elijah's ministry is coming to an end, and he's out in the mountains. And God says, "I'm going to pass before you." It's in 1 Kings chapter 19. He says, "Go out and stand on the mountain." This is God talking to Elijah. "In the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Tell me what in our culture leads us to hear a gentle whisper? Is it rushing around to soccer games, to ballet lessons, to whatever it is that fills up our life? What about the daily grind of our job? Some of our jobs require us to work 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. How easy is it to hear a gentle whisper with that kind of lifestyle? Life can get so busy, it can come crashing down around us. How do you listen to God? Where do you hear that gentle voice? Maybe 30, 40 minutes on a Sunday morning? Maybe 25 minutes in a car ride as you're listening to a message on the radio? This past year for me has been that struggle, that tension. How do I hear God in the midst of all that's going on, in the midst of needing to take care of my family, yet not being given what I need to take care of my family, in the midst of a wife who has multiple sclerosis, and yet we aren't able to go to the doctor the way she needs to, but yet God still provides? All these things are going on, and it's like, okay, God, am I hearing you, or is this something I dreamed up? Are you leading in this, or am I leading this and asking you to bless it? What's going on? And I'll be honest, I don't have all the answers. If I had the answers, this sermon would probably be a little bit shorter. Can it get discouraging? Yes. Frustrating? Yes. But I have to ask myself, am I listening? Am I hearing you, God? Or am I just out here on my own? Am I just flailing my arms, doing what I think I should be doing? So let me take a few minutes to share this passage with you, 2 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's ask God to speak to us through this, that we would be hearing, that we would be paying attention, that we would know what he is saying to us. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Now, this has the idea of a Roman general. When a Roman general would go in and he'd take over a city or take over a province or a country, he would have captives. And when he came back to Rome, he would lead his army, and behind his army would be all the people that he took as captive, those that he's conquered. So this picture can be one of two things. Christ, it says, is the one who's leading. He's the victorious general. Either we are his army following behind him, or we are his slaves that he has taken captive. Whichever of those pictures helps you best in your spiritual life right now, there are biblical scholars who take both stands on that, so it doesn't really matter. But either way, we are being led in a triumphal parade by Jesus Christ. He is a victorious general. You and I are on parade. Continuing that verse, it says, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And it's this description that has led me to the conviction that this is who we are and how we are to minister. That's what we're going to do with Arms of Grace. We're not going to force anybody to do anything that they don't want to do when it comes to spiritual realities. We are going to be the aroma of Christ. We're going to be the fragrance of Christ. And some will be attracted to it. They will run to it. And others will say, I want no part of this. That is what I think God calls you and I to do. Each day, every day, where we are. You and I, for lack of a better word, have the stink of Jesus all over us. And for some, it's a stench, and they're going to want to run away from it. But for others, it's going to be interesting, maybe a little intriguing. They're going to say, I need to know more about this. And they're going to be drawn to it. Let me ask you, what did I do to collect the smell of the horses? When I ask questions, I want a real answer, so... Huh? Okay, I worked with the horses. But what did I do? Say it again. In their presence. I was with them. I was with them an awful lot. I was with them from 7 o'clock in the morning till about noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. How are you going to get the smell of Jesus? You have to be with him. So often, and forgive me for if I'm stepping on any shoes, y'all can yell at Carl. So often in the evangelical church, we equate doing with being, and they're not the same thing. We are to be with Jesus. We are not to do. That will come later. This does not produce growth. This is a result of growth. We are to be. Two sisters, Mary and Martha. What was the issue? This is not part of the sermon. This is totally ad-libbed. It's free. I won't charge you for this. What was the issue? One was listening, one was working. The one was listening, where was she? At the feet of Jesus. What was the other one doing? Come on, give me some words. She's working. She's what? She's busy. She's frantic. She's hectic. She lived in America 2,000 years ago. Any difference between her and us? Not much. And Jesus' response to her, she's like, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work? What did he say? She has chosen the better part. I'm going to get real personal now because that's kind of how I preach. Do you know how much you feel like a failure sitting at Walmart making $8 an hour waiting for God? Do you know how hard it is to say to people, that's all God has allowed me to do at this time? Because I'm not busy. I'm not doing. I'm not, quote unquote, in the evangelical mindset, I'm not where God has those people that he's blessing. God says, I want you to be still, wait for me, be my child. Focus on being, the doing will come. Focus on being. Like I said, this is not part of the message. It doesn't tie into the scripture at all. This is just totally free. So again, just like I said, we are on parade. It's not an option. Jesus is our victorious general. The fact that we are the fragrance of Christ is not an option. We do have the fragrance of Christ about us. The more we are with him, the stronger that fragrance grows. But it's not an option. When I worked at the horse farm, I didn't try to smell like horses. It just happened. When I am a Christian, I don't try to smell like Jesus. It just happens. I don't have a coat and tie, but if I had a coat and tie on, that would be my thinking of how I try to smell like Jesus. I got to look right. I got to wear the right clothes. I got to dress properly. Quite honestly, I don't dress like this every day of the week. Now, some of you may, and that's fine. But isn't there an expectation? Isn't there a, we have to dress up to come meet God? Okay, this is the part you may want to turn off the tape. Doesn't God meet you in the bathroom? Or does he hide his eyes? Doesn't he? See this? This is not for God, it's for you all. This is not being Jesus. This is me trying to fulfill your expectations. What I'm saying is we have to be real. We have to be who Jesus has called us to be every day. Where we work, where we go to school, where we eat lunch, where we hang out at. We have to be who he's made us to be, not whom everybody else wants us to be. And that was a real struggle within the evangelical church in America. Because quite honestly, I'm going to say it like this, some of us just stink. And we don't stink like Jesus. We're so uptight, we're so rigid. Don't cuss around me, you pagans. Excuse me, I was a pagan for 18 plus years. I cussed around everybody. That's what pagans do. That's what we do best. Okay? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Let me put it like this. Looking back in the scripture, who was attracted to Jesus? Sinners. What did they do for a living? You got a tax collector. Who else? Fishermen. Who else? Prostitutes. Wow. How many of y'all hang out with prostitutes? Don't raise your hands, men. You see what I mean? You see what I mean? Those are the people that hung out with Jesus. Who didn't like Jesus? Oh, the religious people. Now we're doing it. Sorry, Carl is really going to be mad when he gets home. But you see what I'm trying to say? We put on this appearance. We put on this air. We put on this pretense. And I don't know about anybody's life, so I'm not judging you. I honestly do not know any one of you personally. Actually, that's a lie. Ed came today. I know Ed. So I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just saying, from what I've observed, we were missionaries for 10 years. We visited churches. We know how to play the role very well of what a spiritual Christian looks like. And yet inwardly, our lives are falling apart. Because we're more worried about what we look like to somebody else than actually being the fragrance of Christ. I'm going to embarrass somebody that I've never met. Ma'am, what is your name?
Olivia.
Olivia. When I watched Olivia up here praising God, I was like, that is real. There is no pretense. There is no, that is just real. That's what it means to be Jesus. Just be who you are. I saw her. She tried to stay still, but she couldn't. She kept her feet in place, but that was about the only thing that stayed. Everything else was just bouncing all over the place. And I was like, wow. That's who Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be who he created us. Now, Jesus didn't create me to bounce like you, okay? I am not a bouncer. Ask my wife. Pretty much, if you get me to clap my hands on a Sunday, that's a good job, and you all got me to clap my hands today, okay? But I'm more reserved, I'm more quiet, I'm more still, and that's okay, because that's who he's made me to be. He doesn't expect me to be like Olivia, and he doesn't expect Olivia to be like me, but he expects both of us to be a reflection of him. We both have that fragrance of Jesus as we spend time with him. So you don't have to try. You don't have to make it artificial. And if you like to wear ties. That's who you are. Don't shy away from that either, okay? At Grace Fellowship Chapel, every Sunday there's one man in a jacket and tie. You know who that is? Ralph, the senior pastor. Why? He likes to wear a jacket and ties. Nobody else in the congregation wears a jacket or a tie, but he likes it, so he wears it. That's who he is. He just likes it. So we don't try to be something we're not. But also, we don't try to not be something that we are. We don't try to say, oh, I'm not really a Christian. When I'm with you, I'm a chameleon. I act the way you act rather than being Jesus. Because that's not authentic either. We are sons and daughters of the King. We live with the King. We smell like the King as we spend time with him. Don't try to detract from it, just like you don't try to make it artificial. You are who you are. Accept who you are. And then Paul finishes by asking this question. Who is equal to such a task? Who is equal to being the fragrance of Jesus Christ? Who is equal to being the aroma, the smell of the Son of God, King of heaven, Savior of the universe? Who is equal to that task? Me? No. If you all think you are, I have news for you. No, you're not. The reality is, none of us are. We're not equal to that task. It's all done in a life of dependence upon God. If I can force myself to be spiritual, I'm not spiritual. If I can force myself to be light and life, I'm neither light nor life. It's all done in dependence upon Him. He's the one leading in this endeavor. He's the one who's leading the parade. We're either His army or we're His captives, whichever we prefer. But He is the one who enables us. He is the one who makes us adequate for such a task. And the last thing Paul says is, this is not done for money. We don't preach the gospel for money. Now, I know there are some on TV who preach the gospel for money. That's between them and God. I'm not their judge, okay? But we don't sell the good news, okay? Even though I work for Walmart, I'm not selling anything today. Anything that I have to offer you, like I said, no charge. It's all free, even the stuff I didn't write down. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. This is our calling, day in and day out. We're to be Jesus day by day with those that we work with, live with, go to school with, eat lunch with, run into at the McDonald's, bump into at the store, someone we help on the side of the road. We are just to be Jesus day by day. So how's it going? What's it look like for you? Let's pray. Father, You are good, as I've said earlier. We know You can be trusted even when things are tough. We know that You are in control of us. You have made us into the people You want us to be, and You're making us more like Christ every day. Help us to spend time with Him. We want to be Your sons, Your daughters. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.